episode ready to go. They're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between. Cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween. It's the Horror Show. I know you miss those guys. Tune in and find out what's on their list tonight. They butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate. Listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate. It's the Horror Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show, a show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies and other horror-related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
So we had to just start this really fucking fast because we're doing the last broadcast today, and Joe messaged me and was like, hey, have you ever seen it? And sometimes we can talk about a movie before we do it because you can. There's enough to say. And sometimes you can't. And today was one of them. And I was like, Joe, if I talk about it, like, I will not be able to stop. And not in a good way. And Joe is a little concerned, I think, that it might have been that I thought this was a good movie.
Oh, when you sent me that message, I was like, is Sean gonna, like, be gung-ho about this?
The ultimate swerve.
Yeah. And truthfully, the reason that I sent you that message asking if you had watched it yet, because I didn't watch it till this afternoon. All right. It's because typically in the past, a movie like this, I have gotten messages from you like a couple hours before recording time being like, hey, I don't know if we could do this. So that's why I was wondering if you had seen it yet.
Yeah, I think we've been just like muscling through these ones that we typically would get away from.
I like it. This.
All right, so I have a question. I'm going to start off with a question here. If I told you this movie was made for $900 and edited on a home PC, would you believe me?
No doubt.
Okay, follow up. Is there more screen time used for on-screen text than actual footage?
Probably, yes.
Follow up to the follow up. Was this the biggest waste of time in horror show history?
Dude, yes. Yes. Yes, it was. All right. This movie, Sean, has been on my radar
since before
the horror show. Because like it would be on lists saying, oh, this predated the Blair Witch. This is found footage. And all it would say was it's about the Jersey Devil.
Correct.
It's about the fucking Jersey. Dude, that is such a sell for me. A found footage movie about an urban legend.
Same. I was so excited about this fucking movie.
It could have just gone the Blair Witch route. Like, you heard ruffles in the woods. Like, oh, shit, that's the Jersey Devil. I'm fine with that. They couldn't even give us that. And then that swerve at the end, like you were just saying, 100. Is this the biggest waste of time?
Yes, that's where I was getting it.
Go fuck yourselves. Are you kidding me? Man.
Follow up to the follow up to the follow up. Should we just talk about The Office again for an hour?
Yeah, I would prefer that.
As you mentioned, I don't think they've come out directly and said it, but they've kind of flamed the fires of statements like the Blair Witch stole this idea from them. This is one of the most insulting things I've ever heard. Not even being the biggest Blair Witch fan.
Insulting and also provably false since Blair Witch was being developed years before this one. But, you know, they had to hold on. Yeah, they had to grasp on this.
They stole that sick ending of these guys. The directors are really weird, too. Their Wikipedia pages are bizarre and for sure written by them because I've never seen just a list of like... One of the ones said, I wrote it down because it was so fucking bizarre. In 2010, Wheeler and Wendig is the guy that directed it and co-wrote it, attended the Sundance Screenwriters Lab with their script for him. What does that fucking mean?
I don't think he's the guy. I don't even think he's one of the two.
Wheeler.
It's Lance Wheeler and Stefan Avalos.
Mm. Yeah, so Wheeler's the one, not Wendig. But that just says they went to fucking... And what is Screenwriters Lab? That sounds like a fucking writing course.
Sean, they for sure wrote their entries because both of them are like, these two are credited as some of the most innovative filmmakers. I'm like, they're not.
They're
not.
One of them was in Wired magazine for like being a top 10 in the new movie making, like Hollywood 2.0. Now, listen, Wired magazine's written by fucking dorks, especially in 1997. But, you know, they didn't know shit about movies. So I will say this, I have one compliment for this movie, and I genuinely think it's the only compliment I have, is what they talked about with computers and IRC chat and shit was way ahead of their time and accurate. And I was like, that's actually pretty fucking impressive that they had that information and are the only people in 1997, 98 that are know what the fuck they're talking about. That's it, by the way. That's it. That's all it is. That's the end, the beginning and the end of my compliments.
I liked the ambition of this for the first two halves. I already talked about how much I did not like the ending, but I liked what they're kind of going for. But for any found footage, you have to believe what you're watching is actual found footage. We talked about it last week. Like when you find the videotapes for Cannibal Holocaust, when you see the videotapes for Blair Witch, even though you know you're watching a movie, like it's easy, you can easily suspend your disbelief and be like, okay, they nailed it. These look like public, like the footage that they're playing is like Ed Peruta level.
For Connecticut. Sure.
That's they know what that is. That is something that you just see on your public access TV made by a fucking loser.
Yes.
There's at no point in time did I believe that this might have ever possibly been real,
which was kind of, I think they built that into this story that it was sort of that element to this, all of this to help themselves. I think, you know, you guys could have scrounged up more than $900 and made this thing work.
That's actually nuts. One of those guys could have fronted that, right?
Hey, just find some fucking cash. Dude, we could go door to door saying we're making a movie, we'll put you in the credits, and I think we could come up with like 900 in a day, probably, if we like really fucking hustled. Like, I think we could do it. I think these guys could have done something better than this. And the movie, oh my god, the movie. So, also, they claim to have grossed $12,000 at the box office. This didn't go to movie theaters. Ooh. I know it played in like a few theaters. Stop it. And had a worldwide profit of $4 million.
That can't be true.
I do not believe it. It might be. I don't believe it, actually. No, I don't. I don't. It somehow said it played on like HBO and stuff. So maybe, but that's $4 million is a lot of fucking money. Especially in like 97, 98.
For a movie like this, that's wild. No, $900 budget.
Stephen Ray and Desmond Ryan of the Philadelphia Inquirer deemed the film startlingly good and a smart, assured work. David Jewett of the Columbian praised the film for its innovative, low-cost technique and its chilling climax. Though he did criticize it for suffering some pacing issues. Notably, they don't talk about all the other bad reviews, so probably also written by them.
Hey, you know what I noticed?
Those guys don't have jobs, by the way.
Startlingly good.
Startlingly good, dude. Like, and also, can we stop with this fucking, we've talked about this before, this scale that we base movies on, where like you give low budget movies like the benefit of the, what are you gonna do, give this 4 fucking stars? Like, what are you, fucking nuts? Like, startlingly good? For $900, it's probably the best $900 movie I've ever seen.
actually, when you word it like that, then it might be startlingly good. It's $900. We're a film that somehow has 17 cast members when you really only needed like 3 of them. Maybe they're onto something.
We'll get to it. Startlingly good that this was even fucking made.
But hey, when I was looking at Stefan Avalos's Wikipedia page, he worked on Rescue 911. I can't talk. He worked on Rescue 911. Do you remember watching that show?
Joe, I vividly remember watching that show, and I could tell you a episode that like scarred me as a kid.
Okay, that's where I was going, because there's two things. One, the fact that we would race home to watch this is psychotic. It's fucking snuff.
Dude, 911 calls, then reenacted. And that's
that reenacted. Like, imagine your family went through such like a traumatic experience. You have to watch it reenacted. And then the other thing I was going to bring up was the theme song was like a Miami Vice,
yes,
you know, riff, but they played real 911 calls. So it's like an upbeat, like jazzy riff, and then people just screaming for help. You're like, oh, man. It's real people. It's crazy.
You know, the world was a different dude. Rescue 911, man. I haven't thought about that in forever. I remember. So that was hosted by William Shatner, right?
That sounds right.
I'm like 90% sure. If it's not William Shatner, it was a guy that looked like him. Yeah, it's Shatner.
It is.
Dude, this show was fucking, that logo is fucking crazy. Yeah, the one that I remember the most, and it's not the most, you know, crazy one for sure. Dude, Tuesdays at 8 p.m., kids just staying up to watch this. I mean, yes. We were watching it in syndication after school.
Right. They had the reruns right after school. I distinctly remember.
Dude, that's fucking prime time Tuesdays. The episode I remember was a kid and he was wearing a sweatshirt, like just a normal sweater, like a knit sweater. And I don't even know what happened to him. Like how this happened to him, but somehow he was exposed to fire, and the sweatshirt was polyester and it melted to his skin and like fused with his fucking skin. How old are we? This the peak of this is 90. It ends in 96, so we're 8 to 10 years old probably watching this. Maybe less.
I was 11. Yeah.
You're in 96?
96, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, yeah, like 8 to 11 years old, whatever. The shit's fused to his skin. And I'm just listening to some, whether it was a fireman or whatever, describe this in fucking gory detail and how they were, like, trying to peel the fucking sweater off of him, but it was, like, melted onto him.
Right.
And then being like, don't wear sweaters. And I was like, I'm never going to wear a fucking sweater again.
Dude, that's the thing with Rescue 911. And there was no bigger fan of Rescue 911 than my dad.
I was going to say.
And every time he'd be like, I fucking told you. Like everything would be immediately, after every episode, he'd be like, this is no longer allowed or this is going to happen to you. So it was just constant fear from 1991 to 1996 of everything.
This is why I told you never to wear a sweater. That's so funny. Yeah, as soon as that came out of my mouth, I was like, yeah, this is Joe's dad fucking loves this.
The favorite show of all time.
Oh my God. Sorry, now I'm just reading about Rescue 911. I gotta get off of this. All right, but yeah, no, it was fucking crazy. It was fucking nuts. So he worked on Rescue 911, huh?
Who, Shatner?
No.
Oh, the director. I forgot we're talking about a movie today. yeah, he did. Yeah.
Just
at first, I was like, my dad?
No, he could never. He can never. He would just find all the danger on the set. Rickety ass set. Just start nailing shit down. So the movie is billed as a movie about the Jersey Devil. And almost immediately, we are told it is not about the Jersey Devil. Almost some of the first words out of this guy's mouth, you go, wait. Is this not about the fucking Jersey Devil? And I had to, like, look and see if the description of the movie is that?
It is.
This man, I held on to hope for almost the entirety of it. And then there's like 20 minutes left and he gets delivered a box of the ripped out VHS reels. I'm like, here we go.
Fine.
The Jersey Devil scrubbed, like it's a conspiracy. Somebody shipped it to him. And we still don't get it. We still don't get the Jersey Devil.
It's disappointing. All right, let's take a quick. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with the last broadcast. All right, we're back. What were you saying?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Why did this happen? Like in the film's universe.
Why did which part happen, Joe? There's so much about this that I have questions about.
What we know happens at the end with that man.
Oh, Joe, we don't know. There's no reason. None of it. there's a million things you could do in this movie with so little money. There's a million ways you could have went with this. And they just fucking actively chose not to do that. Every single fucking decision they made was fucking awful. Because, so, what were you gonna say?
I don't even know how to word this question, to be honest with you. A slight spoiler for what we're gonna talk about at the end. We watched the footage of the guys that are killed, and this is where my hopes got really up, because they're like, that guy saw something, and yes. He was scared.
Yes.
And then we find out, it's just a fucking guy. Correct. It's just a fucking idiot. Like, why would he be that scared of that guy? Like, why wouldn't he just be like, hey, man, what are you doing?
Joe,
he runs away.
Spoiler alert, there's no Jersey Devil. It's just the fucking guy making the movie. Which kind of sounds cool if you say it like that, but it's not. You know what I mean?
But, okay. But it's the guy making the documentary about the murders.
Right.
Right. So that part honestly does sound kind of cool.
Right.
But then we watch
the
other film of the Fact and Fiction crew making their correct. Episode on the Jersey Devil, which this guy doesn't have anything to do with.
Correct.
He's making the documentary on their crimes, but he just
wanted to kill him.
Commit the crimes.
he just wanted to kill him. Now, you know, this ending, we'll go through it in detail, obviously, as we do. But this ending, you could have made it a way where, like, the Jersey Devil got to this guy and, like, had him under a spell. Because that's kind of where I thought they were going with it.
Yes.
But it's not.
That movie we just did had a Wendigo, and it was just a man in a basement. Just an ugly guy in the basement. You just call him the Jersey Devil.
But why even bother with all, like, dude, it's so fucking dumb. It's so fucking dumb. Now, thinking of this very meta, let's think about this for a second. Did they call it the last broadcast? And did they say it was a Jersey Devil movie? So it was like supposed to be like, he got us too. Like he was trying to frame the Jersey Devil.
I don't know.
Hey, it doesn't matter because in the last 10 minutes of the movie, it switches to third person and nothing makes sense. It goes back to normal filmmaking for some reason. I haven't seen that the entire fucking movie. And at the end, it just starts doing cinematic pans on this guy's fucking stupid face. So, all right. So let's talk about it. What?
This guy, David Lee.
Yeah.
He's the first person that we see and we hear. Yeah. And immediately.
Like, fall asleep.
We've talked about it before. Like, why is it so difficult to just have a conversation? This guy's not even having a conversation. My first thought was like, why is this guy struggling to just speak? Like, just speak to the camera.
He
it was so unnatural.
Like, the entire
never
time
talked before.
I'm also not sure there was a fucking script involved, because of the way some of these people are talking, they're just saying the weirdest shit, especially the hosts of the show.
Right.
Who are like, it looks like our high school videos that we would make doing skits and shit.
Right.
Like the same tone in their voice, like the same, like, oh, howdy doody, like trying to be funny and shit. You're just like, what the fuck is this? So we open up with David Lee, who's the documentary filmmaker. And he opens up being like, everyone wants to know about the Jersey Devil murderer. So you're like, wait, what? Murderer? It's like, it's a guy who kills people. And I was like, come on, what the fuck are we talking about right now? Like, are we already just abandoning this? So he lets us know about this guy, Jim Seward, who died in prison. And it's mysterious to him. He's like, oh, something weird is going on here. We get more text on the screen. The following people are not actors. December 16th, 1995. They play Jim Seward's call to 911. He's been hitchhiking. He has lost his group of friends. By the way, this, remember we made fun of Peter Rottentail because it was like edited out of order?
Yeah.
While this is more passable and less noticeable because it's like clips and things like that, this is totally out of fucking order. Like, this makes no fucking sense. We go to this 911 call, then we go backwards, then we go forwards, then we go back to the 911 call, then we skip ahead, and then they're like, then the trial happened. And you're like, what the fuck? And then the trial is 2 seconds long.
Putting that trial scene in and having a man from the local sheriff who's credited as the local sheriff's department wearing an ATF uniform. It's like, make up your mind.
So we get his 911 call saying he can't find the people he went with. We don't know who those people are, really. Don't worry, we'll find that out after. Does that make sense? And he says, I have a bad feeling, you might want to send someone out quickly. Good news, more audio content for the next 10 minutes, just playing sounds and calls with nothing on the screen. And then we learn about Fact or Fiction, a public access show.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, okay, let's learn about that. No, forget that. We're going to mention it and tell you that it exists. And then we're going to jump to December 21st, 1995. And it's the announcement that they've arrested Jim for the murders of two people from Fact or Fiction. Okay. Cool. We don't know anything about their background. We were just kind of introduced to him, but I guess he killed the hosts what they're surmising. And they called it the Fact or Fiction murders. Very original. This town is very original. And also the effects in this are nuts, right? Like the public access, like green screen backgrounds and stuff.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Also, the two hosts of Fact and Fiction are the two directors of this movie, The Last Broadcast. They're playing the hosts.
Oh, that's them?
Yes.
Oh, they're fucking terrible. That's why. That is why they did not have a script, because they thought that they could do whatever the fuck they wanted.
Yeah. Like you said, it has that feel of like you just fucking around with your friends, which to their credit, it seems like that is what they did. And that it did come out better than most people's would.
Yeah.
But, you know, to claim that they're being called the innovators and the faces of the future, calm down.
Yeah. And then it flashed to The Last Broadcast on the screen. I have a theory that if you do a hype up, show the name of the movie on the screen at the beginning and the end, it's a bad movie. So anyway, then we go back. Now we went to December 21st. Now we go back to December 15th, 1995. A day before the 911 call.
They know how to create suspense.
They're just fucking. We learn about the first online broadcast of Fact or Fiction. And these guys have never done anything before. Oh, you know what? I was going to fucking play this. Oh, fuck. I'm not going to pull it up. Fuck. There was an audio clip that I wanted to play there. And I think it was one of... Because this first, like, 30 minutes had me laughing because they were interviewing, like, people about this Fact or Fiction show. And everyone was like, what a giant piece of fucking shit. Those guys are the fucking worst. It was such bizarre interviews. Like, it was so funny. And by the way, we finally see this guy, Jim Seward, who is like a fucking like surfer bro.
Yeah, he's not menacing at all. And also the times that he gets mad is because people are just go, oh, because he claims to be a psychic. And everyone's just like an inch from his face being like, are you a psychic or a psycho? And finally, after like the 12th time somebody's saying that to him, he gets angry.
Yeah, he does the like the like weird high school kid getting angry thing where he's like, rah! And like runs around and you're like, oh fuck. That's fucking weird. But it makes sense because we meet his psychologist. Who's wearing a Hawaiian shirt with his legs up on the desk at like camera lens height. So like we see his feet are coming towards us, but like slightly to the left of the camera. This is a psychologist and breaks every aspect of doctor-patient confidentiality.
That's a great point.
It's just like, you want to fucking know about this fucking little freak? Let me tell you. Including being like, sometimes, and again, the way it's written, like, I don't want to pick this apart for like every little thing, but it just kind of deserves it because it sucks so fucking bad. The writing in this is fucking awful. And because this psychologist says things like, yeah, I don't know. I guess he was like obsessed with magic maybe. And I was like, wait, what does that mean? What? That's not a fact. Like, don't say that. Why would you be like, I don't know, maybe. Maybe he's obsessed with magic. He liked to show me magic tricks. Dude, come on. What are we doing? What are these interviews? And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, we go from his most intimate doctor, his psychologist, to his fucking landlady for an interview. Who's like, that kid loved fucking computers so much. That's her insight. Yeah, he just stayed inside and played on his computer all day.
And again, this was a movie billed as a movie about Jersey Devils.
Jersey Devils. We haven't... This is like one of the most frustrating movies we've ever had to do. Anyway.
You know what's fun? Shout out. I don't remember who said it. I'm sure. Send me a message if it was you. But I remember last year we were like, we got to do the last broadcast. Yeah. And for whatever reason, we had last year's planned out. So we were both like, next year, I can't wait to do it. And somebody messaged me and I just thought about it just now. And they're like, hey, man, like, don't do that. You're going to be incredibly bored and incredibly disappointed.
I wish you remember.
Now, a little too late, but.
And also,
you were right, whoever you were.
If we did know that, we would have still done it.
We still would have done it.
We would have doubled down.
I got it. Yeah. See if that's true.
Well, now we start talking about Fact or Fiction now. And the first comment we hear is short on production value, talent, and execution. Man, they decide to have, though, a live show. We learn all about them. Dude, so much fucking horseshit about this show. But they do a lot of online stuff. They do IRC chat. And they decide that they're going to do a live show and search for the Jersey Devil because somebody on the IRC recommended it. Yeah. And then it cuts to this editor who used to edit the show for them. And he's like he hates him the most. And I fucking love him so much. He's such an asshole. And his comments about that were, I knew this wouldn't work. They couldn't even do a basic cable show. Which, when he says this doesn't work, they're hyping this whole movie up around this Jersey Devil search, right? Fact or Fiction, the show, is going to go out into the woods, do a live broadcast of searching for the Jersey Devil, and they're going to broadcast it on like the cable channel, the internet, everywhere, right? It's going to be broadcast everywhere, the radio. that's the big plan. And when we get to the moment where they're like, and then they started filming, the footage stops 2 minutes into this. And they're like, then all the cameras went dead. That dude, and that is like not an exaggeration. That was like one of the most mental things I'd ever seen, because they're building up to this live show and you're thinking, okay, now we're just going to watch footage of them chasing the Jersey Devil, getting chased by the Jersey Devil. Great. Great.
Yes.
And it lasts 2 fucking minutes. And then they're like, and then all the cameras went dead. And that's it. That's all we get from the fucking, the live show. They're like, and no one got to see it online or stream.
Nothing. Nothing. And then again, even after they show like the crime scene and they show the same shot 25 times. It's just the same shot. The rocks with the blood on it.
Yes. Dude, there's so much recycled footage. It's over and over and over again. It's brutal.
I have another off-topic question for you, but have you ever seen the picture of the Jersey Devil some guy claimed to have caught?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Listen, man. You know me. I'm all about not breaking kayfabe and doubling down.
Yeah.
If you think this is the Jersey Devil, you're a fucking piece of shit. And this is like the most famous one. The guy's like, this just flew in front of my car and I had to take a picture.
So he took a picture of it flying in front of his car. Oh, wait.
He claimed
does it look like a little goat?
Yeah, yes. I mean, that is.
Yes. Why would you even post that? Like, what is wrong with these fucking people?
Dude, that fucking one.
It's fucking unreal.
Also, you know, a lot of times people question why pictures aren't taken, right? When you see something crazy. If that was real and flying that close to me, I'm not taking a picture.
No, I do. I would
running as fast as I can.
My pants. Yeah. You know what I was thinking about this week was, sorry, is there footage here? I was thinking, because we were talking about last week how if you'd see a ghost, it would like alter your fucking life.
Yeah.
And like your reaction would just be like, you'd just have a heart attack. And it reminded me of that story when we went to Philadelphia and I thought I saw a legitimate monster.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah. That was just a homeless person. But I thought it was a legitimate monster. And I am one of those people that like, I am so afraid to like draw attention to myself that I feel like I would honestly choked to death before I was like freaked out in a restaurant. You know what I mean? I'd be like, well, I guess this is just it for me because I'm not gonna like make a scene right now. That's crazy. Like, that's nuts. And I panicked when I saw that guy.
I remember.
Yeah. And I think that was pretty close to being like, this monsters are real. Monsters are confirmed.
So this is not a bit. Sean was like very, I was concerned. Also, probably didn't help. I was like rolling down my window, calling the guy over. Dude, hey, man.
We were at a 4-way intersection, and I was like, go, go, go. It was red light. It was a red light. And I was like telling Joe to go through it. I was fucking terrified. Anyway. All right. Wait, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with my favorite scene.
The conclusion.
My favorite scene in the movie, the guy that's sitting on a bed. All right. We're back. So this next scene, again. There's a few moments in this movie where I was laughing out loud because I was like, this can't fucking be serious. Like they can't even be trying at this point. And this is one of them because the guys in Fact and Fiction, we're getting a lot of their footage now. And they're like, we need to meet with this guy. He does like awesome. He's the mastermind of doing like internet stuff and live streaming on like TV and shit. And they go and meet him, and they're using weird sets. Like they're using certain doors. Like obviously they're just using houses and buildings in their town, right? But they're using them specifically. So they like go to this door where you're like, oh, they're in a place of business with this guy. And then it cuts. And when they're talking to him, this guy is sitting on a mattress that is on the floor of his bedroom with like children's paintings taped to the wall, and not in a fun way, right? Like just they were there. This is just a room. And like a dirty fucking dresser behind him and a dirty side table, like with shit on it.
Yes.
And the guy is just wearing a bathrobe with nothing underneath. And I don't think this was a bit. And fun fact, they do a confessional with this guy at the end of the movie. And he's in the same fucking outfit, in the same bed. And yet he has my favorite fucking line where he's like, he's like trying to say something really philosophical about the events that happened and everything that happened after. And he like compares it to like sharks circling like a corpse or something. Like, I think he's talking about like the media hooking onto the story, which was not whatever. That's a whole other thing. He's talking about that. He's like, just like these post-it notes over here are about. He has 7 post-it notes just like slapped on the fucking wall. And he's like, and that's what all those post-it notes are all about, is these sharks circling. You're like, what the fuck is this? This is fucking nuts. Like, calling these guys fucking masterminds or whatever the fuck they were called is insane.
Nuts.
Did not even try. What was the budget for Blair Witch? So the Blair Witch budget was $35,000 to $6,000. $60,000, sorry.
Okay. Considerably more than $900,000.
Considerably more. I just don't... Something's not right. Something's not right. I don't know. This doesn't make sense. I don't know. $900, I think you could do better than this.
I mean, yeah, probably.
Just put this guy in some fucking clothes. Anyway, this guy Jim finally meets the guys in Fact or Fiction, and he does like a psychic card reader thing. He claims he's a psychic. And then this like erupts into them all fighting for some reason. And then Jim's got a number scratched in his arm, and it just happens to be the day that they were killed, which we'll find out later.
Yeah, which also, knowing the ending, makes even less sense. But why does that guy choose that day?
This is giving me a fucking headache. This doesn't make any fucking sense. Unless he was like watching Fact or Fiction and saw it. But then why would that guy do that? Whatever. It's
also, why is he making this? I hate this movie.
This movie sucks. And also the Fact or Fiction guys, by the way, this guy Jim is a psychic that they brought on. He freaked out. They like had to wrestle him. And for some reason, they invite this idiot to the live Jersey Devil show.
Right.
Because he also somehow knows where the Jersey Devil lives.
Because he's a psychic. Yeah.
And he's the only one to return. Well, we jump from that. Again, still have not seen the live broadcast yet. We jump from this information to Jim being arrested and under questioning by the police. Which immediately, that lasts seconds, and we immediately jump to the trial.
Yes.
So the trial does lead us to some more footage, but it's the same boring shit. And the narrator is like, oh, they edited this to show that Jim had a plan, but we'll show you the unedited stuff. They don't. And also... Guess what? You know what? Jim should have been fucking locked up. None of this makes sense. Why? And like, Jim.
It makes even less sense when you, because you already mentioned Jim's, because I say it in the beginning, Jim died mysteriously. Why?
Right.
And dude, in jail. Fuck. And dead in jail. And the documentary maker is like, this changed my whole perspective. We find out he's like, why would it change anything? Why are you talking about this?
And wouldn't you be making a move? Like, you must have framed Jim, right?
Right. Right.
And now you're making a movie being like, I don't think it's fucking Jim. and also filming yourself at the scene of the crime and at the scene where a woman was murdered, and you're going to put this in a documentary. What are we doing? This gets 0 points on like the found tape scale and the documentary scale. It is not hitting on any level.
It gets 0 points.
It's 0 points in total. Yeah. And Jim keeps fighting people and running away. And then on the screen in text, which has been happening like throughout this, but towards the end, I started making sure to write down literally everything they put on screen because it was constantly just black screens with writing on it. Dude, my favorite is one. We'll get to it. It says, the following is a video synopsis of the trip. Hey, guy, we've been waiting the whole fucking movie. Is this fucking serious? You fucking kidding me right now? We're just getting here? I mean, I was like, fucking finally. But then, they're like, we get some footage. They're like, here's some footage that they took from the camp from afar. And here's some footage of this guy sleeping. And then they're like, and then it was time for the live broadcast. And it is 3 fucking seconds. And it's just showing multiple screens on the screen all going black at the same time.
And then, they're like, we think we might have a face. And he hires somebody.
That's my favorite.
To fix, fix the quality so you can identify it. Which, like, if I was the perpetrator, I just simply would not do that. I wouldn't have anybody look into that part.
He hires a person named Shelley Monarch, a data retrieval expert. This is after he gets the tape, the box full of shredded videotape. Yeah, and he's like, useless. And she's there to reconstruct this destroyed evidence that this guy did not have to hand over to anyone and presumably
anybody
filmed himself and sent to himself. How did he get it?
Imagine getting away with something and then that shows up at your doorstep. You'd be like, holy fuck. Like, this is getting lit on fire. This is the last possible evidence.
Right? But he would have it. He was the one that killed him. He just would pick up their fucking tape.
Well, yeah. No, yeah. I agree with that part. But say somebody else had it and it somehow got returned to him. It was missing. All he had to do was destroy it.
Yeah.
And he hires somebody, pays somebody.
It's actually already destroyed. He literally just needs to throw it in the trash.
Piece of back together.
Fucking nuts.
That's so stupid.
That's fucking nuts. It's fucking nuts. And dude, that her putting that the reconstructed movie together ends up being some of the dumbest shit that happens in this movie. So I'm just gonna skip over to that part. Wait, hang on with my notes. Because none of this fucking matters. Okay, so here we go.
Yeah.
So
sorry, I don't mean to jump around, but this
no, dude,
I mean,
it's how literally
how could you say
four it's lines?
Talks.
It's yeah. four lines. There's nothing there. So, Shelley, okay. So this footage, we start getting footage from Shelley where they're like, she's reconstructed this, and they would play it, but they're only playing 2 minute clips, and then it'll cut back to the narrator. And like a black screen with writing on it being like, after Shelley reconstructed that scene, she then reconstructed this scene. And then it's just people like arguing. And then it would take another break where he's like, and after that, Shelley reconstructed a scene that some might call horrifying. And it's not. It's not fucking horrifying. Nothing fucking happens in it. And he does that like four or five times where he's like, and then Shelley did this. Shelley did this. And then he says, next, we hear ghosts. Guys, what is this guy fucking doing? There's no ghost. And for a minute, I thought maybe we were going to get to the Jersey Devil.
You hold on hope till the end. You do. And that's not a credit to the filmmaker. You know, a lot of films will string you along and you'll hold on to hope and they'll hit you. No, this is a desperation. Hold on to hope.
You're yes.
Like, please redeem yourself.
Do something. They don't.
Yeah.
And then the next break, he says, Shelley provides a tape that is nothing short of horrifying. Now we'll see who the real killer is. Hey, fun fact, we don't. And there's nothing horrifying about this fucking clip. It's just nonsense. It's just the woods. Like, we see a little blood, that's it, and hear footsteps. Then on the screen, more writing. It says this. What does the passage of time do to the truth? What the fuck does that mean? And also, guess what? Not answered. He says, the Jersey Devil is the sounds, the images you can't see. So that's when I lost hope.
It's not what that is. No, not what the Jersey Devil is, but
that's when we go back to the guy in the bathrobe. Yeah,
that fucking meme. Like, what if the Jersey Devil was the friends we made along the way?
Yeah, that dude, that's what this movie is. We go back to that guy in the bathroom, and the thing he says about the seven post-it notes that are on his wall, he says, these post-its attest that when there are real dead bodies, the sharks start circling. Okay. We don't know what's on the post-it notes, by the way. That's not talked about. He's just talking about post-it notes that are on the wall. And then they interview everyone, and they're like, yeah, because of all these guys dying, we all got new jobs. And then they interview Shelley, who's like, and by the way, let's say we're interested in this as a crime, true crime type of thing. You could solve a crime with this documentary. Like, you could go that route. Like, you're actually going to try and solve this murder. And they interview Shelley, the woman that's digitizing the videos. And she's like, yeah, I didn't fix all the tapes, and the killer's probably on one of them, but okay, I don't have the time. What the fuck are we doing? And then the narrator says he's going to recreate the events of that night. And we're going to take a quick break, and we are going to see how he recreates the events of that night. Spoilers, he doesn't recreate the events of that night. He literally doesn't. He doesn't. He's like, here's the deli they stopped at. And then he just like stops. It just all ends. And, oh no, there's that montage of all the scenes that we've already seen three times already. Over and over and over. And the narrator goes, this is when I actually started crying, laughing, watching this, because from here on out, like from here, not here on out, because then it just pissed me off. But like for the next 5 minutes, it's like the funniest thing I've ever seen. Because the narrator goes, well, and this is when I wrote down, is this the biggest waste of time in horror show history? He goes, well, this is probably a mystery and will remain so. And what even is the Jersey Devil? And I was like, get the fuck out of here. This is the most insane thing. Like literally being like, not only are we not answering the murder, not only are we not answering what the Jersey Devil is, we're just going to end it here. We're just not going to talk about anything else. That's a wrap on this one. No hypotheses. That's it. Just, yeah. Gave it a whirl. Filmed it.
Yeah.
And then on the screen, it says,
Quite frankly, Sean, I think I would have preferred that. If they did end it there, knowing what we know now, I would have been happy.
I think I would have been fine, actually, yeah. On the screen, it says, more writing. April 1st, 1997, Shelley announces that a face will be identifiable in the early afternoon. What does that mean? Why are they giving it a timestamp for early afternoon? And then again, April 1st, 1997, It is agreed that the authorities will be notified immediately following the documenting of this event. What the fuck?
Why wouldn't they just notify the authorities?
Hey.
It's a crime.
The murderer is making this fucking movie. The fuck is happening? What is he doing? Wow. Okay. And he goes, I'm outside Shelley's studio. The truth comes down to this one frame. Because Shelley's been digitizing this one frame where we're going to see somebody's face. And he walks in. The camera goes to third person and he fucking kills Shelley.
Yes.
Full third person. There is no more POV. It is not a found footage movie anymore. You are officially disqualified from as a found footage movie. It is just a waste of time. There's like cinematically shot third person shots of like the narrator disposing of bodies, dude, like a pan across his face. Supposed to be like a chilling scene. Like what? Hey guys, this is definitely not your strong suit. Filmmaking, not your strong suit. Like stick to the fucking found footage, if anything.
And like it came out in 98, right? So a year before Blair Witch. You can't even say it's a good early, like you can't even give them any credit for attempting it, because that same year that Alien movie came out, that Alien Abduction, right, that we covered, that like the premise of that is so much more unbelievable, and they pulled it off. They made you like believe what you were watching. Mm-hmm. So you can't even give them any credit. It's the same year.
No. There's no credit to be given. There's no credit to be given. This is just not good in every way possible. I'm curious if we have fans of this that listen.
Let's look at Letterboxd.
That's always fun. I swear I've seen this on a lot of like best of.
Out of 10 people watched, only one gave it a 3.5 star, and that's the highest. Most are 2 and 2.5.
Those are all very generous. I could not give it. I couldn't give it a 2. I couldn't give it a 2. How can you give it a 2?
Yeah, I can't.
What would you give it a 2 for?
Like, shout out to Stacey Beth. She gave it 2 stars, and her review is, lack of Jersey Devil is real disappointing. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, a movie about a Jersey Devil without a Jersey Devil probably puts it at a 0 star.
I'm surprised no 1 star from anybody.
Yeah. This isn't a good movie. I mean, I think it speaks to probably people that really like low budget stuff, you know?
If you're an aspiring filmmaker, I'm sure you can find some motivation in this, but
yeah, because anyone could do it. Hey.
Yeah.
If these guys fucking did this, we can make a fucking movie.
Exactly.
It is fucking bizarre. I hated every second of it. And that is the last broadcast.
Yeah. One of our shortest eps in a while. And
it is.
You know what?
It is.
For that, I thank the last broadcast.
No, we've been doing some like hour long eps, and it's been great. It's been great to get back to that. The Jersey Devil. No, that's not what I want to say.
Listen, man, can I read this? 5 stars. Nowhere near as slick as the Blair Witch Project for me. That makes it almost more nightmarish. A surreal, grainy, lo-fi, vaporwave, SOV hellscape. What I thought I was seeing when I watched the VHS segment, the glitch only, real, somehow. I don't know how else to describe it. Also, they keep saying the internet like that, in all caps. Worth waiting for. 5 stars.
I don't know. I don't know what
to say. Calling this vaporwave.
I got nothing to say. I don't know. That guy doesn't sound like he's all the way together. This Friday, live show,
Yes.
The 16th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, patreon.com/IHateHorror. Join us for Willow Creek Watch Along live show. It's going to be a blast. Wait till you see our costumes. No one will ever guess. I might make him open it up just minutes before.
Okay.
Just
am I the bride of Bigfoot?
You are not. You're not. But it's
the mangina. The
it's so good. It's so good. But like, oh fuck. But you'll see me. No, I guess I could put it on after. I could put mine on after. Okay. So we'll. Yeah. I want you to see it live on the air. We'll open them live. They're so fucking good. They're so fucking good.
Can't wait.
So join us for that. Joe and I dress up every one. That's our new gimmick.
Yeah.
Why the fuck not?
My closet filling up with bullshit. Dude, it's Ernest outfits. It's fucking
dope. Who was the person that asked us if we had matching Ernest outfits in our closet and was like not joking in the last live show? We were wearing Ernest outfits. And she was like, I think it was Katie. I don't know. I forget her name. From like Oregon.
Oh, Katie. Yeah. Katie.
Yeah. She was like, hey, did you guys get those out of like, did you guys just have those lying around? Me and Joe were wearing identical Ernest outfits. Just lying around in our closets. Waiting to come out.
Are you sure she wasn't being facetious?
I don't think so. Because she was like, Katie, do you guys buy them? She's like, do you guys buy them or do you just find them in your closet?
Well, to be fair, I went to an 80s themed party and I didn't think to wear the Ernest sleeveless jean jacket until Sean's like, are you wearing the Ernest costume? And I was like, oh no, I just found this other sleeveless jean jacket that was hanging up in my closet, which is true. Why do I have that?
I used to have one and I lost it. I'm very sad about it. So that's that live show, the 16th. Joe put out a bonus episode on his own, so we're not going to have a bonus episode with this recording. Very cool. It's on his week 5 cult movie challenge.
Yes. Yes. Some Patreon members are they've been keeping up with the cult challenge. Oh, that's cool. So. Yeah.
And check it out and watch the video version of it because Joe did a really good job editing it. And I was very impressed and it looked very good. And I was slightly jealous.
If you know anything about my, like, I asked Sean questions on like how to turn on my computer. So the fact that I did that, I'm very proud of myself. I really am.
It's really good. Like they fade in and out. Like I was like, wait a minute. Like, I like skimmed it at first and then I was like, wait, what the fuck was that? Like, I thought like maybe you found something in the stream. No, just editing.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you continue it. I released it as an audio version also. So everyone can listen or watch.
Yeah. Let me know. Give me some feedback. Unless you don't like it, then don't give me any feedback.
Yeah, don't.
Keep it to your fucking self.
It's fucking funny. And yeah, so check that out. No bonus with this one. Maybe Joe will do one or maybe I'll do a separate one too. Fuck it. And that's it. That's a wrap. And then we got, what are we doing for the final week? Paranormal Activity, right?
Yes. Which again, a movie. This is like, what, our third year of doing found footage films?
Second year.
Okay. But I mean, it's our 10th year as a show.
Tackling one of the most, beloved. Yeah.
A modern beloved film, yeah.
Well, at least we didn't start at like 3. That's one positive. The horror show way, we would start at like Paranormal Activity 3.
We didn't cover 3? During our part 3s?
Oh, fuck.
Remember we did a whole, why did we do this? Why didn't we get, speaking of feedback, you guys should have probably reached out to us.
You should have stopped like, hey, this guys. Early.
Yeah. Should have potential. What are you doing?
Hey guys, just writing you about this part three series that you're going to do three parts of. Don't.
Those are first year, right?
Like, I think so.
That's stupid.
Hey, breaking the mold, baby. Breaking the mold. It's a good idea, honestly, but not for your first year. You should probably cover the movies that you...
Yeah, when you're talking about... When you're the horror show and you're talking about Nightmare Part 3 without covering Nightmare, that's so asinine. Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 3.
But the guy... It's a good concept, because, like, part threes are weird, man.
Well, yeah. No.
Should we run it back? Should we run it back?
Well, of course we should. Of course. I want to run back Peter Rottentail.
Ooh.
Where do we stand 10 years later?
Ooh, April Watch Along?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or should we do it for, like, an anniversary? I don't even know what our anniversary is, but... December.
Our anniversary is December because we did Tales from the Crypt.
When did we come back though?
Came back in August. I only remember that because my brother got married. I remember being I was the best man at the wedding, and all I could think about was the return of the horror show that night because we were gonna do Island of Dr. Moreau. I was just thinking in my head how excited I was.
So maybe we do it for the anniversary of our comeback.
In August?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. Whatever. Or just do it fucking next week. Who cares? Honestly, who gives a shit?
Why wouldn't we do it for Easter?
Right? We could do it for Easter. Did we have something planned for Easter? No. No, we ain't got shit for Easter planned.
Well,
Peter Rottentail putting it in. What?
All right. Well, what were we doing? What were we doing for my favorite Martian?
Communion. We're only going to do one alien movie.
Okay.
And fuck! Next month is the Stannies.
What was the live show? Okay.
The Stannies is the live show.
Okay. Sorry, Peter Rottentail. You're bumped to next year.
April. We'll do it in April.
Let's get that guy that. Wrote a Fangoria article about how excited he was for, like, I have so much to say about that. The guy was involved with the making of the film, and he was like, I was so excited to see the magazine I grew up loving talking about my film. Hey guy, when did Peter Rottentail come out? What year?
It came out, I just had it pulled up.
Peter Rottentail.
2004.
So we talked about it 11 years later. Temper your expectations, guy. Fucking excited that Fangoria was finally talking about it.
Is there a way? I found his page. When was the last time he posted? 2023. He's got some new movie, it looks like. Splatter Farm. I wish there was a way. Like, I wish you could, like, how come, like, I can't look at our interactions, you know what I mean? On Twitter? Because it was on Twitter, right?
I thought he emailed.
No, I don't think so. And I actually don't know if it is this guy.
I don't remember. I just remember him being real bumped.
Yeah, it was...
To hear us laughing.
it was very disappointed. Less mad, way more disappointed at it. Sorry, I'm trying to find the this fucking X thing is just out of control. I don't know how to use this fucking site. Like, come on, what are we doing? Anyway, I was going to pull it up, but it's fucking impossible to find anything on here. Why would you rename it X? Because what do you call it? You don't call him a tweet anymore. You call him an X. I sent out an X.
I honestly, that's a good question. I have no clue. I hate Twitter.
I mean, I do too. I'd be a fucking asshole. Anyway. Just saying. Just go on Instagram and look at fucking memes like everyone else. Everyone fucking relax. Going on Twitter screaming. Fucking nutty. Anywho. All right. Wrap this up. We're done. So we got Paranormal Activity. Next month, we got a bunch of weird movies. And the Stannies, we got to work on that. Put together some categories and winners and things like that. So that'll be fun to do in our spare time. What?
Rent out a banquet hall.
Rent out a banquet hall. Just do it at
for you, me, and Paul.
Paul's backyard. While his family's sleeping. Do it on his front steps.
Last time we recorded in person, we weren't even at Paul's house. I went to pick up Paul, but Paul slammed like 25 car doors. Right. And his kid had just gone to sleep. Dude, if Rachel saw us recording in his backyard, we'd be fucking dead meat.
I fucking love it. All right. That's a wrap. Thank you all. Thanks everybody that supports us. Patreon.com/IHateHorror, IHateHorror.com, Instagram at IHateHorror. Joe, where can they find you?
Instagram, Boognish 1985.
And that's that. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to Joe. And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adieu.
Movies all fucking day.
I wanna play.
I'm gonna watch what I'm not supposed to watch.
Fucking zombie getting sliced and diced.
The monster.